Actually, Mr. Chair, can I ask Dan a question?
Yeah.
Dan, how long is your presentation?
Well, we're just I'm just discussing it with the general managers and the CFO. What we might want to do now, actually, is have the CFO lead off with the general managers coming on behind, because they have the same actual sequence of presentations. That's also going to address many of the transition issues, and basically what you're going to get in part, as I understand it, is a lot of the transition issues being addressed, that is the leadership transition issues in these presentations. And then I know we have some time tomorrow morning in executive session where I've prepared some remarks and statements to deal with some fairly specific personnel issues and legal issues that I'd love to go over with you tomorrow morning. That can be done pretty quickly, and that's already been agendized, and we've already noticed that. So I think this evening the GMs and the CFO can work together to give their reports, and is Brian here? Brian's in the house, and Ursula. Oh, there you are. Oh, Ursula, there you are. So I think what we'll do is go with that team first, and then we'll deal with the specific ED transition issues in the morning. What do you think, an hour? An hour. We think we can do all this in roughly an hour, depending on the questions. Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You need this?
Yep.
Do I need to time them, or are you going to just do an hour?
I thought that would be one.
Tell you when you're at an hour.
That's what everybody should do right now.
Yeah. I guess we've got to be on the other side so we can see the screen.
Well, you can actually see from where you're sitting.
Well, but my neck is going to realize.
No, actually, no.
I don't know.
Let me think about that.
Okay.
You don't?
Makes you aware, I'm sure.
Oh, he likes you.
I don't know. I think he was desperate to get over here.
That's my bit.
It was funny.
Yeah, exactly.
If that might be a good thing, just show that, you know. And then
yeah.
Check. Okay, ready to go. Yes, I'm ready. Ready to convene. I'll turn the sound up. Hey, John, can you turn up the mic for Donna Warren?
Hello? Yes. Okay, everybody, Lonnie's ready. Can everyone take their seats? So that the CFO can give us his presentation. Hello, everybody.
Hey, how you doing? I need that light. What is it? Does it do anything?
Ambrose.
Battery for this. That battery's working, isn't it? That's the one. That's the one that I.
And the. Well, I'm. The board members need to be in the room. Hello. Can we have a little bit of order here so that we can? Board members need to be sitting down so they can see this presentation. And everyone else, well, everyone quiet, please.
We've got a forum in the room. I'll give you my
star. You sure did.
Okay.
Thank you.
We've got a forum in the room.
I'm everything.
Sergeant at Arms.
That's right, Sergeant at Arms.
Okay. Maybe dim the lights a little bit. Is that possible?
Yeah.
All right. Ready to go. Okay. No, not working, huh? All right, I'll start talking, I guess, and see what happens here. Let me just tell you what I'm going to do. And before I do, I want to preface it with a couple of comments. A lot of the things that we were talking about today have changed since we have a executive director who's leaving us. And that means that a lot of the things that we've been talking about now have to be viewed in a different context. And I'm going to talk about that means finances. When you lose an executive director, when you lose your general manager at your largest one of your largest stations, that has an enormous, well, hello. Hello. All right. Turn it up. Yeah, hello. Okay. All right, that has an impact on the network as a whole. And what I'm going to try to do is take my comments and put it in context with that as our background. So what we've done is that the general managers, Dan and myself, sat down yesterday and developed a 90-day plan for the network on the operational side to show you, board and listeners, how we think over the next 90 days we ought to proceed in order to maintain the greatest level of stability in this network, given the fact we're losing our executive director. So here we go. We call it 90 days and the perfect storm. And I'll explain the perfect storm later. But 90 days, clear reference. I'm saying to the board, financially, we may be looking at a perfect storm next fiscal year. And I'm going to go over that. Oops, I got to go back. goal number one in my presentation this evening is to review and approve Pacifica's FY05 budget. I thank the board for having reviewed this budget and making us street legal. That's very important to me in the finance, because our auditor insists that in writing there be a motion by the board approving the budget. And I'm saying too, as Dan said, that working with the finance committee, Mike, Mark, the rest of you folks, I will work with you around the salary issue. And of course, I will do whatever it takes to move us forward. So one of the goals I had today was to obtain the board approval for this budget. Thank you very much. That's been accomplished. Number two, I want to identify critical issues facing the network. It is the gorilla in the room that we're losing our executive director. And we need, as a network, as a board, as a general management team, as an administrative team, to develop a 90-day ED transition plan. What do we need to be doing over the next 90 days such that the transition that this will involve will be smooth and successful? We can do it well or we can do it badly. The second goal I have is to identify the financial priorities for the network FY06. Remember, at this board meeting, we did say that as a staff, we would come and identify for the board what we think are financial priorities for next fiscal. And remember, this board meeting, April, in June, we want to come back with more details around those priorities. Today, we hope to identify them. Secondly, we want to identify a financial plan for FY06, because having looked at the financial priorities for 06, we identified a perfect storm, and that means trouble in FY06, big trouble for this network. And we went further than just identifying the trouble. We went the second step of identifying what would be a financial plan to address the issues that we were seeing. And that is the last point, counter strategy for the perfect storm. What do I mean by perfect storm? I'll get to it in a little bit. The last item that in this presentation I wanted to address is that everything that I'm talking about is undergirded by a critical need for network stability. We see that as the most important issue facing us over the next 90 days. How to maintain our stability in the variety of things, an ED leaving, a general manager leaving, financial budget priorities having to be clarified, established, a look at what we look like in FY06. All of these are critical. Before I do that, I thought I'd just give you a glance back at the budget, so that we didn't do the numbers, but I wanted you to just see that in the October budget that we did pass, bottom line was $1,409,000. The budget we passed today does increase the bottom line by $256,000. So we now have a bottom line budget of $1,556,000. Just so folks will know. Let's go. The October budget, $1.4 million. November budget, $1.5 million. Increase, $147,000. Annual. Yes. Not a budget for a month. If people ask me also, does it mean that we have $1,556,000 in the bank, you know, in terms of the end of the fiscal, September 30th? Answer, and is that a surplus? Answer, no. That is just that one month. Remember, our $16 million budget, if you divide by 12, this is what this network needs to run on each month. Each month we spend $1.5 million. That's about a month's operating expenses in this network. And that is that one month I keep talking about that's needed to be in place September 30th in order that that second month, October, the folks, everyone will have the operating revenue that they will need to survive that month. So it is not free money. It is not a true surplus. It is merely the cash reserves needed to get through the following month after the fiscal end, September 30th. Okay. Oh, I had fun playing with this one. Budgeted revenue, $16,504,000. Now, how large are we compared to most nonprofits? The average budget of the nonprofit organization, State of California, which I know best, $500,000. We are huge as a nonprofit, in the upper 1% of nonprofits. We are an atypical nonprofit. We are large. We don't operate like a mom and pop's nonprofit. Doesn't do you any good to go to the internet and copy stuff off about nonprofits, because we don't fit the average nonprofit. We're like, I guess we'd be sort of a medium-sized business in the business world. The budget of revenue is $16,504,000. I'm projecting $16,400,000. We're going to be about $100,000 short unless something changes. It may change. I hope it changes. Note that that's about $100,000 down. That's $100,000 less. The scenario I keep talking about with revenue, we're flat on revenue. We keep coming in at around $16,300,000, $16,500,000. And not that we need to grow largely, but we do need to be able to maintain our expenses. What are those expenses? And I'm going to go over those. There are certain expenses that go up every year at the network. Whether we plan for it or not, we will end up spending those funds. What are they? That is, some of these expenses, we have to spend those funds. Insurance goes up every year, whether we plan for it or not. Workers' comp insurance, unemployment insurance, auto insurance, building insurance. How much? $50,000 to $75,000 every year. Salaries, union contracts, they go up every year, 3 to 4%. How much is that? We have a payroll of $6 million. That means at a 3 or 4% level, we're going to have to find another $250,000 each year. Where is that going to come from? You can see it's not going to come from there, because the revenue is not coming in at a $250,000 increase each year. That means it's got to come from cost reductions internally, or identifying new revenue, or some other magic source as yet unidentified. So that's our problem. Flat revenue, rising costs. Compared to last year, FY04 audit, that is the audit just completed for September 30th, 2004, we raised $16,028,000. See the pattern? $16,028,000. We think this year to be $16,400,000. That was $370,000, or a 2.3% increase. Our expenses go up 4 to 5% a year. We're seeing revenue increases around 2 to 3%. There's the math. All right, let's go. FY05 budget drivers, that is this fiscal year, what's driving our budget. The requirement for 1 month is a bedrock requirement, because if a station does not have that 1 month, what happens? Why am I so concerned about it? Why am I always talking about it? Here's why. If Station A, and this is not academic, this happens all the time. Station A does not have, say they have only half of that 1 month. What happens? Well, you can't have half the rent. Got to have all of the rent. Can't have half the payroll. Got to have all of the payroll. And so what do they do? What do stations do? General managers are smiling because they know what they do. They stop paying the bills. They'll stretch the vendors. Well, what else would they do? They'll go to the cash box, savings maybe they had at some point during the year, and they'll dip into savings. But you can't pay half the rent. Well, maybe you can pay none of the rent, but you can't pay half the rent. So what they'll try to do is up their numbers for the drive to make up for that money that they didn't have at the beginning of the year. Remember, if I come into the year and I'm $100,000 short at the beginning of the fiscal, hey, I'm $100,000 in the hole before the fiscal begins. That's a large number. So you're going to, what are you going to do? You're going to, the money that you get in that first drive is $100,000 of it is already spoken for, already spent. So you start off the year in the hole. That's not good. That's not good. If a given station cannot make payroll, what do we do? National office will step in and we will help with payroll. We will perhaps not assess central services for that month to help that station out. you know, say, okay, forget central services for the month. Let's see how the drive goes. Maybe you'll make it up there. Or, in worst case scenarios, we come to the board and we say, bad problem. And they may need to have some help from other stations to help Station A. It's happened in the past. We added $25,000 to that board budget for board training. We added monies for legal costs, and we adopted a WBI budget of three that we looked at that fiscal. I will move on. $16.5 million is the total revenue. Of that amount, $12 million is listener and donation revenue, listener support revenue. 80%, you know, of our revenue comes from the listeners. Now, let's go to the bad part. Well, as I started to look at what next fiscal would look like, because we have a budget process we're starting here in the month of April, first item was capital needs that surfaced. WPFW in October will need to move or extend their lease or at some point decide whether they want their own building. Maybe the cost, $250,000. It's expensive to move a radio station. It's expensive to buy a building. And in either case, you will see a need for capital. WBAI does need to move. WBAI has an increase in their transmitter cost. That is, the rent went up $35,000-$40,000. KPFT needs $20,000 for capital needs. K needs a new roof, or at least they should get one, and they may need to look at relocating their building. National office needs space for reserves. I know I said that last time. You said, Donnie, you said, what move? But it may be.
Well, you remember it was me.
That's right. It was you. Yeah, but there is a sense that North Hollywood might not be the very best location. It may come up. The national office, we need space and we need reserves. Reserves is the important notation here. In order for us as a national office to be a support to stations, we need reserves. PRA, they still need and they would love to look at a building of their own. And they, of course, have the issues around data migration. KPFA needs to rehab both the restaurant that's next door to them and also their has some water problems. ADA issues are on another list. And ADA issues, these are critical. That is, monies that I think that we will spend whether we plan to spend them or not. Yeah.
The ADA issues are also critical because they could lead to legal issues.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Lonnie, before.
This is leg two of what I call the perfect storm. Those issues, capital issues, are going to happen to us. They're not speculative. If the water in the bottom of your building is causing water rot, you're going to have to do something about it. Leg two of this perfect storm is insurance and insurability. Pacifica is a high-cost network organization to insure. How much? $250,000 a year and rising. They listen to these meetings. They hear nothing but dollar bills. So we are what they call a poor risk. All right, we are a poor risk, and they go to our website. Insurance companies do their homework. They go to our website. They look at. They check. Oh. You know, our broker, oh, I can tell you stories, Brendan, has been with Pacifica 20 years, was a member of the KPFA board. He has, of course, every year, try to get insurance for us. I won't go into that. That's a very sad tale. But insurance is an issue for us every year. Election costs. We have an election next year. Didn't have one this year, sort of. We sort of split the cost between this year and last year. Next year, we will have full-on election costs. How much? $250,000. Easy. And this year we sort of were a little bit lucky because we only had half the board members who were up. But next year, a lot. A lot. And you know how the elections are. People start getting nervous about getting their material out there. They want 100 carts. They want 2 or 3 mailings. And costs go up. Bylaw convention. We're committed to a bylaw convention next year, next fiscal. What is that going to cost? No budget's been done. I'm operating on guesses. Maybe 50,000? Yeah, made me smile. How many days? How many days for the bylaw convention? How many days?
You don't know how much the last one cost?
The last bylaw convention?
Yeah, but it didn't have all this
structure. See, it was like 5 people in a room. It's a lot of cigarettes. You know, this one is going to be like states people. You know, they're going to be in a big hotel. They're going to be delegations to all the stations. All right. I don't know. We need a budget around the bylaw convention. It obviously has to go in the budget that I will be presenting in June. It has to be in there. Yeah. How much did this meeting cost? You're in New York.
That's a good question.
A little higher. 70. Yeah. Drink up. Drink small. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, New York is expensive. You know why you don't have... You don't have tea in your rooms and the coffee like you know, because it's $12 per person. Can't do that. You know, people say, why isn't there water in the back of this room? Why isn't there tea and coffee? $12 per person every, what is it? Where is Lelani?
Every 2 hours.
Every 2 hours. Welcome to New York. All right, board expenses. I'll pass that one on out of deference and respect. significant increases, man. All right. Finance and governance. Finance is close to my heart. That's where I live. Budget issues and finance. You know, we're still trying to get a way to monitor these budgets and control them. That's what part of the conversation is here today. We need to be effective at that. And I'm saying next year we'll have to be even more effective given the enormous pressure on the expense side that we will be experiencing. I'm saying that we're understaffed in finance. I don't know how we're going to keep up. You know, just put it out there. I don't know how we're going to keep up. I don't want to lose my best people in finance. And that's my nightmare. They go, I'll be right back here saying, you know all them plans you guys had? I don't have the staff. I don't have the staff. Identify the best use of those valuable resources should be a focus. Now, there is a financial perfect storm coming. We just did the second piece of it. I think we need to set some goals. We need to identify some priorities because we will be forced to do it. There will not be enough money to go around. All right? There won't be enough money to go around. That is right up front the problem. So, and we are committed. Race and nationality, maybe we're looking at 150. Maybe we're looking at 250. Don't know yet. HD radio, maybe as much as $300,000. We don't know. CPB issues. CPB is holding a meeting. May 1st. Initial meeting's in April. Dan, you could probably speak to that. But it doesn't look good in terms of what CPB may be planning around our finances. We get $1.7 million from CPB every year. It is an essential part of our financial structure. If they start to play with that money, we have a problem. We'll know more May 1st, but the rumor mill is that they're meeting about us. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I hope to God it isn't. I hope it isn't true, because that is one headache that will be difficult to get over if they start to reduce or eliminate the monies that we get. That from them. As I say, the 1.7 million. That's a large number. FSRN, we have been talking about integrating them. The price tag is yet unknown. We've been talking about the shortwave radio project. I don't have it on here because my fingers trembled as I sought to put it on here because I had no idea what that would cost. I didn't want to do it. So I don't know. We're going to have new staff needs. New staff needs. This is the fifth leg of the perfect storm. We're going to have new staff needs. We need an HR director. We haven't and wasn't able to afford one at the national office. We need one. Stations need one. But they're expensive. And out of $65,000, unless you want to get Rocco. Rocco, you can get Rocco for cheap, but that's about all. Right, retirement planning. Retirement planning. We got people in this network. I need not say to you, you know who we are, what we're talking about, that have been here 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and they are not going to give up those jobs. Why? Because they got no money to retire. They got nowhere to go. We haven't provided for an orderly transmission, an orderly transition of people that have put their heart and souls into Pacifica, who have worked hard. Yes, there is a pension plan. No, it's way less than it needs to be and not adequate. Yes, we do. Why? Because they did have one which they defunded in 97-98. Remember all that one? It was defunded in 97-98. So nobody's really built up any real monies toward retirement. Legal issues. Just when we thought we were at the end of the legal train and all that money was paid off, I see more legal coming. I hate it. I don't want to see any more legal bills.
Why?
You don't want to see any more legal bills.
What?
I'll pass on it right now. The bylaws alone will require some legal support. There will be fights over bylaws in this network unless I am totally out of touch. You know there will be fights. Somebody's going to get an attorney. We will get an attorney. There will be director rights and director wrongs, and there will be the bylaws. I'm going, how much? Please tell me how much will that cost us? So, I don't know. I don't have a number. We are a membership organization without a membership director. Some of the requests coming from finance around membership data, volunteer data, might have to look at a membership director as a way of handling that information request or building that system, right? Maybe. Maybe yes, maybe no. Executive director, I know we have one, and I know we may need to get another one, but over the next period between the 90 days, it may take Pacifica 9 months to find another executive director. It may take that long. I don't know. But I've never seen Pacifica do anything fast. So I put the structure as true. But you know, we may have an issue in that position over an extended period of time. That's why I have it up there. A national program director. We have not hired a national program director for a variety of reasons. Our product is programs. We need direction. We need to move ahead. We need to be clear with folks what we're doing programmatically. We talk about outreach. Does that include staff? We're talking about reaching out into communities. We're talking about making contacts. Well, how shall we do that, and what shall be the staffing requirements? Next year, the union contracts, three of our five union contracts are up. WPFW's contract, up. WBAI's contract, now in negotiation. KPFK's contract, in negotiation. The expenses this year will not be so bad, but next year with those contracts and those increases will annualize. You don't want to see annual contracts and 3%, 4%, 5% over and above what we have now. That's got to be planned for. All right, excluding the ED, cost might reach $750,000. All right, I'll stop torturing you. The minimum cost is $1.5 million. The minimum cost is $1.5 million, which we'll have to identify in the next 90 days if we're going to budgetize these items. We may leave them out. Well, we're not going to do any capital. We're not going to do any staff. We're not going to do any insurance. But that's not going to happen. You are going to spend money, whether you plan for it or not. The question is, can you afford it? Are you going to restructure the network in order to be able to manage these costs? Are you going to look for new revenue in order to manage these costs? What will we do? Question on the table. Here's what we on the management team looked at and what we came up with. And I'm including the race and nationality items in these. What we took the problem to be is that we've got a number of projects that will require funding. How much? At least $1.5 million. How will we get that money? Here you go. We'll raise $500,000 of the $1.5 million from the national office in a June mailing. We've done a $500,000 already, and the plan is to do another $500,000, and that $500,000 will go against the cost that we've been identifying. You can thank us later. But we plan to go ahead and try it because, you know, what can you do? You got to try. You got to try. Around June, we're hoping to capitalize on the 56th anniversary of Pacifica. Remember, that's this month, isn't it? The 15th. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, we do have a current mail drop that's doing fairly well, so we are encouraged that we can raise money that way. The goal, raise $500,000 of the 1.5 that way. Now, the second idea is the idea of organizational affiliates. Just as we have radio stations that are affiliated with us, the idea is to look at organizational affiliates. Now, that means organizations like NAACP or whoever, take your choice, Move On, La Raza, and see if they, working with us, can be a source of revenue for this network on a strategic partnership basis. How would that work? People say, well, how do they get revenue from La Raza? Well, La Raza has a mailing list. La Raza may be capable of doing joint funding with us. La Raza may be responsive to our finding an internet-based show for them so that they can communicate with their members. We, as a network, in an environment in this country with deficits as far as the human eye can see, we're going to have a third-world economy in this country, thanks to George Bush, for the next 5 to 10 years. There's no money. That's ditto for the states. Now, we've also said, well, our members also are aging. So where is our revenue going to come from? You know, not the feds. And I bring up the feds because if there is no money in the system, that impacts us directly or indirectly. All right, so it's a dollar-scarce environment for the next 10 years. That's a long time. So we need to plan for it. So this idea says we need to stretch out into our communities and make contacts with those organizations, the progressive organizations that share our values, that have funds, who may work with us. We were talking about a Pacifica tour. If Amy Goodman can go on a tour, Pacifica can go on a tour. Going around to various, not just the five stations, but out into the affiliates as well, with celebrities, with Pacifica personalities, and take our message far beyond where we currently are and broadcast it. We did a 10-10-10 program last year that was very successful. We didn't think we could do it. We did. Thanks to the hard work of a lot of people, we were able to, you know, put on shows in Missouri, in Seattle, huh? Phil Ostergata, wherever you are, Phil. So thank you. He did it on nothing. In fact, I think he made $5,000 on our 10-10-10 program. On-air days and network-wide capital campaign. This idea says, hey, if we got capital needs, maybe what we need to do is to look at all of our capital needs and do a whole week where Pacifica concentrates on capital. Do a week. Every station's capital needs get solved in that week. Now, maybe the listeners will go, you're got to be kidding me. More on air? Maybe it's a good idea. Maybe it's a bad idea, but it's an idea. You know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. The other idea that we came up with was increasing web revenue. We underutilize our websites as far as producing revenue. And the idea is to see if we can have a Pacifica-wide premium site where a listener can go and get any premium or any archive item and buy it right there, and every station would be able to participate in that and share the revenue and the archives. Just an idea. See if that will work. Remote broadcasting is the idea that if we move our capacity for broadcasting further into the community, maybe we can form partnerships where we can train people to do internet-based broadcasting, iPod broadcasting, and realize some revenue in the process. Just as we have contracts with affiliates and we have a sliding scale payment system with them, maybe we can do that with organizations. Sliding scale payment. We said we could raise $800,000 from those areas, plus the 500,000 mail drop, 1.3 million identified. We're 200,000 short. All right, just an idea. Know if they'll work, but we'll be back in June. Either we'll be able to have the confidence in them and put them in the budget, or we'll say, you know that idea about the website revenue? Nah, it's not going to work. We're back to square one. All right, I'm just about finished. This is a personal concern of mine, my own point of view. I think that in this transition period that we're in now, every committee has to be perfectly clear on what its goals are. We won't have the luxury to waste network time, network money. We can't do that. This year, meaning next year, is a real bad time to do that. We're going to be short of everything, it looks like. And so we must work more efficiently as a network. My suggestion is, everybody talks about fiduciary responsibilities. You know what fiduciary means? Fiduciary has nothing to do with finances. That's a misunderstanding of the word fiduciary. Look it up. Fiduciary means loyalty to the network. That's what it means. Working with the network, working with the staff, working with other board members. It means loyalty. It comes from the Latin, fidelius. I've been doing this for 20 years, and every time somebody asks, that's my fiduciary responsibility. Well, your fiduciary responsibility is loyalty to the network and its mission. That's fiduciary. Let's get fiduciary here. And everybody has to, I think every committee ought to get clear on this fiduciary responsibility. Adopt some goals for the year that reflects the mission of this network. We're not doing that. And discussing, but we're not doing. So if you want to do fiduciary, get your committee to have some goals that reflect your fiduciary responsibility that are consistent with the mission of the network. Sorry to be preachy, but I'm scared. I'm scared that if we don't get moving, we will have trouble next year. We need a financial policies and procedures manual, as the author mentioned, that makes procedures consistent across the stations. I think there is one that is on the table. We did put it up. I'm going to ask the Finance Committee to review that so that we can have that consistency across stations. And we need a process to monitor our goals every month. That is, where are we in the process of reaching goals we've established for ourselves? All right. I'm done. What we want to do now, just by way of summary, we're going to develop a 90-day plan around the ED transition. There's got to be a search committee. Who will be on the search committee? How will the process go? How will the ED participate in that? Who will participate in an ED search committee? How will the ED transition go? Will it be 1 month? Will it be 2 months? Will it be 3 months? Need to know. The financial transition, that is, station transition planning, is not just what the board does, not just what finance does. It's every station now is involved in this transition, and they need a transition plan too. Now, finally, matching up our mission and our actual activities. Now, I'm done. What we want to do here is have each station talk about what we decided to do was to have each station talk about what they see as crucial for them in the next 90 days so that everybody is sort of getting a sense of the critical priorities in the next 90 days. So, with that said, we'll start off with WBAI. Don Rojas, who is leaving us?
Battery.
Oh, I talked it to death.
20 minutes for the 1 hour, so you know.
Some of you know, some of you don't, but Don is leaving us.
Yeah, just so everybody knows, of the 1 hour that was allotted to this, there's 20 minutes left.
Right? I'm done. Hope it works.
Thank you, Lonnie. Can anyone hear? All right, I'll stand. Thank you, Lonnie. Mr. Chairman, members of the Pacifica National Board, I too would like to welcome all of our out-of-town colleagues to the Big Apple, otherwise known as New York. We certainly apologize for the lousy weather, but we hope you enjoy yourselves nonetheless in this global city, which many New Yorkers with their typical in-your-face attitude claims to be the capital of the world. We hope you can all join us at the end of today's session at 8 p.m. tonight, or is it 7? I'll ask 7:30 for a reception hosted by our local station board. At the end of my presentation, I will give the address and ask Brother Ray LaForest, whose union is actually hosting at their location tonight's reception, to give us some more details. Sisters and brothers, as many of you know, this is my last PNB meeting as general manager of WBAI, since I will be leaving that position on April the 15th. Moving on for reasons of family and health, and moving aside to make room for younger blood to take the helm. My 2 years and 3 months as general manager of WBAI has been an interesting roller coaster ride. At times rewarding, at times challenging, at times frustrating. But never a staid or dull moment. At this most contentious, combative, passionate, and I dare say creative of most radio stations in America. I've learned a lot about Pacifica and its culture.
I've learned a few new things
about the complexities of human nature. On the eve of my departure, I want to take this occasion to thank the WBAI family and the Pacific National Board for the opportunity to serve the movement for free and independent media in this country, a media determined to be unboxed and unbowed by the interests of corporate capital or by Washington's imperial agenda. I look forward to continuing to serve Pacifica in the months ahead in other capacities. As some of you know, I have a keen interest in assisting Pacifica to develop a strong and influential presence in areas of new digital media, such as internet radio and satellite radio, and also in developing strategic partnerships with progressive organizations and with influential community institutions. I will make myself available to consult regularly with whomever is appointed to succeed me as interim general manager, because I am committed to achieving a smooth transition from one administration to the next. Before I go on to outline some of WBAI's challenges over the next 90 days, I must take a moment to publicly thank my colleagues in the Administrative Council, my fellow GMs, the CFO, the ED, for their collegiality, their wisdom, and their moral support. Brother Dan Coughlin, congratulations to you and Elizabeth on your imminent parenthood. Good luck in all your future endeavors. Good luck in all your future endeavors, and welcome to the club of daddies with daughters.
It's a good club.
Dan, I salute you for your sterling contributions to Pacifica and to the independent media movement. It has been a pleasure and an honor to have worked with you these past few years. Sisters and brothers, I leave behind a WBAI that currently enjoys financial stability, with Pacifica's auditors recently giving us a clean bill of health, a WBAI with the largest number of listeners in its history, a WBAI whose influence keeps growing in diverse communities throughout the tri-state area, a WBAI with a competent LSB, chaired by a person of integrity and genuine commitment. A WBAI poised on the threshold of a bright and glorious future. It has been alleged in certain Pacifica quarters that something fishy is going on with WBAI's finances, and therefore fishing expeditions are in order. Even expeditions that wrap themselves in the cloak of inspectors' rights. I am here to categorically state to this board today that there is nothing illegal, illicit, or immoral regarding WBAI's finances. I am also here to state categorically my respect for PNB's director's rights to inspect station finances, if there is a good cause for such examinations, and if instructed by the executive director, I will, without hesitation, give any PNB director access to WBAI's financial records. There is nothing to hide, and there are no fish to be caught. As to the issue of Robert Knight's status, which has surfaced at this meeting and at the previous previous PNB meeting in Los Angeles, and as to recent incidents of confrontations between the staff at WBAI, these are sensitive personnel matters that I am not at liberty to discuss in a public forum such as this. Suffice it to say, an independent investigator retained by the National Office has presented a report of her findings and a set of concrete recommendations, which I believe the Executive Director will share with the Board in executive session. Over the next 90 days, I am prepared to work with my successor in the following major challenges to WBAI. Number one, to conclude the negotiations and to sign a new AFTRA-union contract and a new contract with the unpaid staff organizing committee due in the next several weeks. Two, to negotiate a new lease for our transmitter and antenna space at the Empire State Building. Unfortunately, we may not be able to avoid a substantial increase in our rental bill under this new lease, a bill that will top $300,000 per year. Number three, strengthening our development department by hiring a development director, streamlining our pledge fulfillment process to achieve a 10% growth in our fulfillment rate, and improve efficiencies in our premium delivery mechanisms. Number four, to implement fundraising initiatives in collaboration with the local station board and our recently elected community advisory board. Number five, to add an audiophile on-demand feature to the station's website, which, I would state parenthetically, continues to grow in both traffic and content, registering in the month of March over 3.3 million hits and close to 50,000 unique visitors. And the sixth priority for the next 90 days is to work with the LSB and the CAB to organize and implement new community outreach initiatives. And the seventh is to implement a new program schedule. Finally, Mr. Chairman, I want to wish you a successful tenure as leader of this distinguished board, and I remain at your service. Call on me at any time. Thank you very much.
I'm not supposed to.